Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 6 of the Unreliable Studio Podcast. My name is Josh.
I'm Pedro.
And today we're going to do a Bioshock Infinite spoiler cast. So if you've not beaten the game or have not played a large chunk of it, I recommend not listening.
And if you haven't played this game, you're crazy because this game is awesome.
Absolutely. This game's super good. It takes place just before the first game. In a floating city in the sky called Columbia. I mean, just starting the game off, there's a lot of religious overtones. In order to get into the city, you have to be baptized, which is a big controversy right now, which is kind of weird.
Baptized, more like a drowning.
Yeah, yeah. but, yeah, I mean, it feels like the original Bioshock. It's got the same kind of feel to it, and it's definitely a really cool game.
Yeah, it was definitely awesome. The story, especially, that's one of the reasons why you play these Bioshock games, is for the story. Well, in the beginning, you start off as Booger the Wit, and he's hired, and you're trying to get Elizabeth in order to clear out your debt. Because apparently, Booker is a character who has done some shady things in his past, and has accumulated a large sum of debt. And he's sent to Columbia to rescue this girl, because if he brings back the girl, he clears away the debt. And that's how it starts. You get on a rocket chair, and you blast off to Columbia.
Well, it technically starts when you're rowing, you're getting rowed in a boat out to a lighthouse in the middle of the ocean. And that's one of the things, like, the bring us the girl and wipe away the debt is, it's a reoccurring theme through the game. And if you've beaten the game, then you know who the twins are. And I didn't notice this until I actually started a new game, but the two people that are rowing you out to the lighthouse right at the very beginning are the two twins.
Yep.
And they can't, they technically don't exist in the same dimension. They're each separate dimensions. In one dimension, one twin, the twin is a boy, and the other, it's a girl. So
mind fuck, it's actually the same person.
It's the same person, but in two different dimensions, they're different people. So in this dimension where Booker exists, where he needs to get Elizabeth, they are working together to get him to Columbia.
Right.
Yep. So you get to Columbia, and I mean, you're just, I don't even really remember how it starts.
You get there, and you're exploring, and there's a carnival, and it's like, yeah, check out these cool powers. And you're like, why do these people have these powers? But oh well. And then you start seeing posters for the, what is it? The black, the, who was the, they're going to take away the lamb. Be on the lookout for this person.
Oh.
Nonetheless, Comstock, the head of Columbia, had propaganda in place so that his citizens would know that Booker DeWitt was on his way to Columbia to try
the false prophet.
The false prophet.
That's who it is.
And one of the distinguishing features of the false prophet was that in his, I think it was right hand,
yeah,
he had the initials AD. Is that right?
Yes.
And sure enough, Booker DeWitt had that in his hand. And that's actually an important plot point. Not really important, but that gets revealed to you later in the story.
Yeah. That is, well, we'll discuss the ending when we get there. So you go through the game, you initially find Elizabeth, and then you meet the Songbird, which is the protector of Elizabeth, or so you're told. So Elizabeth is locked in this tower away from everybody else because she has these powers. She's able to open rifts in time.
Not really time, it's more dimensions.
Dimensions, yeah, yeah. She's able to exist in two different universes at once, which is
a big no-no when it comes to the universe.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess we should just go straight to the end, huh?
Yeah, fuck
it. All right. It's hard to explain everything.
So, at the end of Bioshock Infinite, Elizabeth is Booker's daughter.
What's her real name? It starts with an Anna. A. Anna. Anna DeWitt.
A.D.
It's on Booker's right hand. He doesn't... I mean, the game really gives you no clarification of why it's there until you get to the end. Well, and exactly. You're not even really sure if Booker knows why it's there, because Booker... You start the game with Booker, and he has no knowledge of Columbia and what it is.
Because mindfuck, he's from a different dimension.
Yes. And the male twin comes to Booker and says, if you get the girl, we'll wipe away the debt.
In Booker's dimension. Because the twin in Booker's dimension is the guy. And Booker, in his own dimension, has a daughter, Anna DeWitt. And that's where the male twin, whatever his name is, goes up to Booker and he's like, all right, you're going to give me your daughter and I'm going to wipe away the debt. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. That's the premise of the beginning of Bioshock Infinite. You give the male twin Anna, and he's like, cool, your debt's clean. You don't owe anybody any money. And Booker instantly regrets it. And he tries to get back Anna. And he fails.
Yeah, he tries to go get her back. And the male twin is giving Elizabeth, or Anna, to the female twin in a different dimension. Comstock is Booker in the female twin's dimension. As the exchange is happening, Elizabeth's pinky gets stuck in the dimension shift, and it gets cut off. That's why she's able to function in multiple dimensions at once, because she exists in two different dimensions.
Right, so apparently the universe is like, wait, you can't be in two universes at the same time. This is weird. You need to find your way back to your universe.
Yeah.
And that's how she's able to open up these rifts and do fuck shit up.
Yep.
Just mind fuck all around.
So, after the war, Booker goes to...
So this is before Anna.
Yeah, this is before everything. After the war, Booker goes to some sort of like church gathering of some kind, and there's a man there.
He seeks redemption.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right. He seeks redemption for what he's done through the war, and he's got the opportunity to be baptized
and to be reborn anew.
Yes, and when. In that dimension, when he decides he wants to be baptized,
this is basically the point that determines the future events
of everything.
Everything,
both sides.
Exactly.
So Booker becomes baptized. He becomes Comstock, and he is
crazy, religious.
Yeah.
Starts Columbia and is like, "This is gonna be our holy world." And you're going to be religious, and I am going to be your father, and this is how it's going to be done. And if he doesn't get baptized, you become Booker DeWitt, the character you're playing as, where you're fighting from this, that, and the other, and you're just trying to live your life your way. But unfortunately, that leads to the debt, but you have a daughter, and this, that, and the other.
And Elizabeth also exists in multiple dimensions. At the end, you go through this series of lighthouses, and that part is strange because it shows you all the different Bookers, all the different Elizabeths. And each of those have their own Comstock and their own baptism, and each event just plays out differently enough to where it's just a different dimension for each.
The analogy in the game is that the point of the... I guess, what's the past tense of baptize? That event. The point when Booker gets...
baptized.
Baptized or doesn't get baptized, that point creates a tree. And each one of the tree's branch is a different universe. So that's either a different Comstock or a different Booker. So, mindfuck.
Yeah. There's just so many so many different variations.
Yes, and by the way, Rapture from Bioshock 1 is one of those branches. It would have funk
it. It does exist in that, in this world. And I actually saw a video that showed a part in Bioshock 1 where you're seeing a splicer play the piano, and you can hear the distinct cries of Songbird in the background.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, and that's pretty something crazy, because at the end, Elizabeth brings Booker, herself, and the Songbird to Rapture, and
in order to destroy the Songbird.
And yeah, the Songbird materializes outside of the city, so it's underwater, and you can hear it screaming for about 30 seconds.
Underneath an enormous amount of pressure.
Yeah.
From the water pressure.
So yeah.
It doesn't survive.
And that's, I mean, it's crazy that, I don't know if that's planned or if it's just something.
I'd imagine it's either a coincidence or Ken Levine is like, haha.
Yeah. I mean, they might have just taken some sound bites from the original game and said, what could we use to make the Songbird?
Exactly.
Yes.
Anyways, back to the story.
Let's see. What have we not covered? The lighthouses we've covered, so, all the different dimensions.
We didn't say why Comstock wanted Elizabeth.
Well, it's his daughter.
No, Comstock couldn't have a child.
Okay, yeah.
So Comstock couldn't have a child because he was also messing with the possibility of jumping universes, and the machine that allowed him to jump to different universes made him sterile. And that's why when he was peering in one of the different universes and found Booker, he was like, this guy is me, and he has a child. I want her, because I want my bloodline to succeed me.
Comstock.
Comstock, exactly.
Even though it's Booker's child, Comstock is Booker, so Elizabeth is both their daughters.
Mindfuck.
And then, I mean, Comstock had a wife.
And yes, dilemma there too.
Yeah, so what I understood, like, he ended up killing her.
Yes, because she...
Because she knew that he was sterile, but he didn't want everybody else to know?
Well, she... Comstock was trying to have a child with her, but this never happened because he was sterile. And then Elizabeth comes out of nowhere, and she's like, motherfucker, who are you cheating on me with?
Oh, yeah.
And then she goes crazy, and he's like, well, I gotta shut up this bitch.
Yeah, because she was threatening to say something.
And it just all happened to happen with, what's her name? What's the freedom fighter? The black chick?
I'm terrible with names.
Nonetheless, this character was a maid in the house of Comstock and found the dead Lady Comstock, and she got blamed for the murder. Hey, racism.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that plays a huge part in the game too. There's a lot of racism and a lot of religious and political stuff. It's a really deep game. So Lady Comstock is dead, but you still interact with her a little bit.
As a ghost.
As a ghost and through some tears. It's like, the ghost stuff was weird because...
It was also incredibly boring because it was like the same boss fight three times.
And it was like she knew who Elizabeth was, but she didn't want to... accept it, or I don't know.
I don't think she knew how to accept it.
Because at the end, she was like, oh, okay, you're cool. Come on in, I'll unlock the door for you. I was like, all right, sweet, whatever. As far as the combat goes, like you said, I mean, there was a couple parts that were kind of overused. Like, the end just felt like it lasted forever. The part where you were on the Zeppelin, and you're, like, jumping around, and, like...
Fighting waves and waves of enemies. Yeah,
and then you get to the top and you're commanding the Songbird to take out other floating ships. And it just lasted too long.
Yeah, I'd agree. It lasted too long. But it was cool to actually have the Songbird fight on your
on your side. Yeah.
I would have thought the Songbird would have been the main boss, but I guess they figured that's what everybody would have thought.
Yeah. So I mean, it was
a nice little twist.
It was interesting seeing, like, that, I guess, just being able to use him. Because you don't really see him in combat.
At all.
Yeah, because he's just chasing Elizabeth because he wants to get her back. I didn't think the part where you killed Comstock was very exciting. I guess you just grab him and just slam him into a little bird bath and that's it.
That's the end of it.
Yeah. So you effectively kill yourself.
Yeah. Mindfuck.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing is throughout the game, you're jumping through dimensions to progress the story.
I didn't even think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it gets to the point where you jump and you jump into a dimension where the Booker was fighting to get Elizabeth against Comstock, but this Booker died. But before he died, he joined the Freedom Fighters. So it was interesting that what do they call the
Vox Populi. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Vox Populi, but then the little, you got like...
Booker the Voxophones.
DeWitt's, yeah, you got little Booker DeWitt Voxophones messages, and it was pretty intense.
If you've not collected all those, I definitely recommend just going
highly
through
recommend it.
Picking everything up, because there's a lot of story that you get from that you wouldn't get just playing the game. The first time you jump through a dimension, you're going to save the...
An Asian weapon maker.
Yeah, the weapon maker. And so he's dead in the basement, and Elizabeth sees a tear, and she opens it. And you go through, and in that dimension, he is still alive. But then you go to see him, and he's crazy.
Because he knows he's not supposed to be alive.
Yeah, he's not supposed to be alive. None of his machines are there. He's just insane. Instead of having an Asian wife, he has a white wife.
Who?
Instead of...
Prays to Comstock.
Yeah, instead of praying to Buddha, they are praising a statue of Comstock. So you can see just in that small area how much it affects the universe by changing one seemingly small thing. You go to get his weapons from the jail. And
in order to move the weapons,
you have to open another tear.
Yeah.
And that moves the weapons back to his shop. But in this dimension is the one you were talking about where Booker is dead. And he died to help the Vox Populi. And the Vox Populi they're kind of naive. They don't really say anything about you running around helping them. Until you get back to that black lady. I can't remember her name.
Yeah, it escapes me too.
It's been too long since we played.
We waited too long.
But she sees you as another false prophet. I mean, it's just a different side of things. Instead of Comstock viewing you as a false prophet, she's viewing you that way. And that just changes... another aspect of it, because instead of being on one or another side, you're against two different factions now in this world. Comstock soldiers are against you because you're the leader of the Vox Populi, and the Vox Populi are against you because you're some sort of weird ghost guy that came out of nowhere and came back and decided to start wreaking havoc on the world again. So it's kind of unclear which dimension you're actually in by the time you finish the game. Because there's a lot of stuff that happens at the end as well. You get a view of the Vox Populi attacking New York City in the 1980s.
Yes,
this was crazy with an too. Older Elizabeth. So Elizabeth at this point is, 70 or 80 years old.
And it was interesting because this was a universe that this Elizabeth teleported you to, so that she could have given you an item you need to take back. And basically what happened was...
This happens every time Booker and Elizabeth go through this series of events.
Yeah.
They have to go to the future to see future Elizabeth to get... They need to go back to fight past Comstock.
But it happens because Elizabeth gets taken by the Songbird, and Booker is like, I'm coming after you, I'm gonna get you, I'm gonna find you, I'm gonna rescue you. And apparently, every time he does that, the Songbird stops her. And in one universe, he's never able to rescue Elizabeth. And in this universe, Elizabeth, like Josh was saying, gets old, and
she pulls him out of his timeline and puts him into hers.
Exactly. And she's like, listen,
nothing you do is gonna work.
This just isn't working out. This is what you need. Take it back, because as you can see, Comstock gets his way, and I'm over here fucking blowing shit up for no reason. Yeah. And she's like, you take this and go back to your Elizabeth and fucking save her. And that's what you do.
Yeah. It gets pretty crazy at the end. I really want to play through the end again just to see everything that I might have missed. But just reading all the... I mean, there's so much stuff you can read online about how the two universes pair together. What happens in certain universes that'll affect the other ones. It's just insane how much stuff there is.
Yeah.
I guess we covered a lot of the
ending. I think we did good. Obviously, there's still a lot.
Problems with the game you had, or...
I mean, really, the only time I wasn't having fun was when I was fighting Lady Comstock. That was it. But, I mean, everything else I enjoyed.
You like the handyman?
Yeah. I like facing the handyman.
Patriots.
I thought Patriots. What were they called? The people that had, like, the musical instruments as a head?
The guys that couldn't... Oh, man.
Guys of Silence or whatever. Those were a weird enemy, because they would just, like...
They would just scream, and then all these ghosts would come attack you.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of dumb.
Yeah, that part was... I can't imagine that part on the hardest difficulty, because something like that would... It'd just be insane, because none of the enemies drop weapon ammo or anything during that part.
Yeah. My only issues with the games was that it was really linear, and they only allowed you to carry two weapons, which was kind of dumb, in my opinion.
Yeah. In the original, you can switch between your weapons, right?
Yeah. You had a weapon wheels.
Which is... I guess it would just make the game too easy.
Who knows?
But what about you? You could switch your plasma, or not plasmids, what are they called? Vigors.
Yeah, vigors.
You could switch your vigors at any point. You could just change whichever one you wanted.
But did you not like anything about the game?
The Boys of Silence, or whatever they were called, those things were pretty bad. That mission just felt like it was really long.
Yeah.
And I tried to avoid every one of them, and I alerted every one of them.
I don't think you could avoid any of them.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just not... That part just wasn't very fun to me. I mean, overall, the game was awesome. It's a great game. It's got an awesome story. Definitely worth playing. It actually made me want to go back out and play Bioshock 1 and 2. I beat the first one, never really beat the second game, so I'm going to go back and do that.
Yeah, same here, I skipped the second one. What about DLC? What do you think they'll be adding as DLC? Because I bought the season pass, and I just bought this three campaigns, or...
Three extra stories.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, with this infinite universe thing, they could take this to...
Yeah, they could do anything they want. Well, from what I hear, there's, in one of the campaigns, there's going to be a new partner, a new whatever.
So like not Elizabeth. 2.0.
Yeah, there's going to be some other sort of
thing. Can I just say as well that Elizabeth as a a companion character, she was amazing.
Yes.
She never got in the way.
She can't die.
She can't die.
She gives you ammo and
exactly. And salts. It was almost like she had to babysit you. Because she was like, hey, you're out of ammo. Here's a gun.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you're out of life. Here's some med picks. You're out of vigor. Here's a bottle of that. It's like, holy
And she could open up tears that'll be like on unabated turrets.
Yeah. Or
like stuff like that. So it definitely made the game easier. Because I was worried about that, honestly, where it was like, oh, I hate escort missions in every game. Because they're always garbage.
Exactly.
They always get in the way. They always die. They always get stuck in something. In this game, I didn't have a problem with Elizabeth at all.
And she was constantly like giving you money too, just for no reason. It's like, hey, I found this. Here you go. You're taking care of me. Take this coin.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, sweet.
As far as DLC, I know this probably not going to happen, but I'd love to see some way of being able to control Booker underwater in Rapture. Even if it's 1980s Rapture, I mean, well after Bioshock 1 and 2, just some sort of link between the two. Because I'm reading the Bioshock Rapture book, and there's a part in that where one of the characters mentions Comstock Fields as like something they could have done in America instead of going to Rapture. So it seems like Comstock has some sort of influence in that world as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. I took a screenshot of it because I'm reading it on digitally. I took a screenshot of it. So it's pretty cool seeing those two worlds cross over. And this book's been out for a while before Bioshock Infinite came out for sure. So it's just weird. I don't know if they had these characters in mind before or if it's something they made it pulled from the book or it's completely random mention of Comstock in this book. I have no idea. I haven't finished it yet, so hopefully there's something else that kind of links them together because that'd be kind of cool. Or just some sort of like being able to interact with 1912 or 1920s America as Booker. Just to see like what the world's like. Like, because in these games they make the world seem like a super terrible place. That's why they have to have these other cities.
Yeah.
Rapture was built to get games. Away from everybody. They were afraid of nuclear war and so they built Rapture. I guess the same goes for Columbia. Comstock felt that everybody was impure and Columbia was a place to be reborn. And so it's just crazy how night and day it is. I guess Comstock was focused on the religion of people and how people should be leading their lives, and Andrew Ryan was focused on every man for himself kind of thing, you know? So it's like a weird balance. It's like night and day. It's kind of crazy.
Definitely some good stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I would love to see something new. Because, I mean, it would be interesting to see how they would intertwine Rapture and Columbia. But, I mean, at the same time, why do that? Why not just blow us away with something else?
Yeah.
Maybe a new main character, a new companion character, like you were saying. Because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this story with Bioshock Infinite, when you buy the game and you beat the game, you get a full story. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind if we get, like, a second campaign with these three separate DLCs that we get for the season pass.
Like a different person.
Exactly. Maybe even get like a different point of view from one of the different characters. Maybe if we played
as that black girl.
Maybe as the black girl or maybe as one of the twins.
That
would be interesting.
I mean I'd honestly be fine with a purely story driven expansion. Even if there's no combat or very little combat. I just like to explore the world more, I guess, you know?
I totally agree, yeah, because, I mean, the story is incredible. I don't really mind if there was very little combat. Anyways, I think we're going over 30 minutes. Did you want to stop it there?
Well, I just wanted to just point out a couple things. I don't know if we covered it, but Booker ends up killing himself.
Yep.
Not only Comstock, but he kills himself before he gets baptized.
The ending.
Yes, the very, 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 very end.
They determined that the only way to prevent this from continuing was to terminate it at the source.
And the source was the baptism after the war. So in order for present-day Booker to get rid of present-day Comstock is to kill past Booker before the baptism, which effectively kills them both. And if present-day Booker kills past Booker before the baptism, then Elizabeth doesn't exist as well. So at the end, Booker kills himself before the baptism, and that just eliminates everything. All timelines, all Bookers, all Elizabeth, all Comstock. Everybody's done, and that is the end of the game. That's kind of why it's going to be difficult to continue that story. I mean, they could just take the cheap way out and just be like, here's three different Bookers and three different Elizabeths and three different stories with those DLCs. But
yeah.
I don't think they'd do that.
But yeah. I think we'll go ahead and end it right there. Thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Sorry it's taken so long to do another podcast.
Yeah, I hope to get these things out a little more regularly. Now
we're on iTunes now.
Yes, we are on iTunes.
That's pretty awesome.
We are on Facebook, facebook.com/unreliablestudio. We have a Google Plus at Unreliable Studio. We have a Twitter at Reliable Studio. And as always, you can find us on YouTube, youtube.com/unreliablestudio. Pedro and I both have Twitter and YouTube accounts as well.
We'll link
Yeah, you can find all our stuff from our YouTube page. We're both on there. So, anything else?
No, like always, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Peace!